SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline, with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
so fun. Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow. Exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And away we go on a Monday afternoon right here on the grid. This is Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside, and it's Kevin Walsh. And over the next 2 hours, we've got you covered on all the hottest topics in sports, which includes LeBron James going to the Dallas Mavericks. Your thoughts, Kevin?
I mean, listen, let's get excited here. Let's get excited. What is even going on, though? I mean, play catch up here, Donnie. What is happening right now?
Do you want to play catch up with this? Yeah, how about this? Did you know LeBron and Kyrie are friends? Yeah. You know, they talked on the phone last week, and Kyrie's like, yeah, what happens if you forget about everything else? What happens if you come to Dallas? Yeah, I don't know, man. It might be an option, but who knows? And then that turns into breaking news, shams, woes, bombs all over the place. Kyrie Irving probably asked LeBron James his thoughts on if he wants to come to Dallas, which means, in NBA terms, he's going to Dallas, and it's probably going to happen in the next 24 hours, right? Is that what it's supposed to mean?
Yeah, I mean, again, and
my goodness,
LeBron's not even a free agent, so... I tell you what, though, what a spin that would be if after all this time where Kyrie was supposed to join LeBron in L.A., LeBron joins Kyrie on Luka's team, it would be incredible.
It is. It's when I saw it come out, like I get a good laugh at it because it provides content, right? So like on a day like tomorrow, no NBA finals, you want to have an NBA topic, you can always go back to it. But it's so funny how you can just take a deep breath. Read what they're saying over again. It basically said, hey, you know, if I don't come to the Lakers, LeBron, would you like to come to Dallas? And who knows what LeBron's answer even was, but it's taken as gospel. Like, you got to be kidding me, man. LeBron's going to Dallas. How many people have picked up the phone being friends with LeBron in the NBA and like, hey, man, you can come to Philly. You can come to Portland. You can come to Miami. You can come to Charlotte. You can come to Washington. You can come to the Knicks. You can come to the Bulls. But it's funny how it just lands on one thing, as if Kyrie wants to stay in Dallas. But instead of going to play for the Lakers, he wants to get LeBron and Dallas to play with him there. That's all. It's that simple, it seems like.
And you know, the one thing I would imagine is if LeBron really is going to come back next year but leave the Lakers, like, we're going to know. Do you know how much time we're going to be given to spend landing spots? You know what I mean? Like, we get to do this now, but I think it's almost every single a part of us, like, he's obviously just going to play on the Lakers next year. Like, I think the first shoe to drop, it's not going to, the Tyreek Hill thing, Donnie, where it's like, hey, by the way, he might leave Kansas City, 4 minutes later, he's on the Dolphins. Like, LeBron is not going to just randomly appear on the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, and it's going to be fun to see how it plays out, because any speculation by the NBA, I mean, they absolutely love it. Like, with like the entertainment in the off seasons where players under contract seemingly can just move teams and it doesn't matter. Like, hold on now. It's not just his choice alone. It's not like the big free agent summer of where that decision is going to be made, which LeBron has actually had before. When you're under contract, it's not so easy as another player on another team saying, I would like this guy to play with me, so it would be even a possibility. And a guy like LeBron James, like, why would he go to the Dallas Mavericks when he has his home base set up in Los Angeles, which he can probably go tell the Lakers, you know, I'm running up here in age, and I got 1 year left, so I need you to do this for me, or else I'm out of here next year. And you know how this goes. It's all leverage play. Like, LeBron's in a spot that he would like to be in, and I doubt he leaves. I really do.
It would be surprising, I guess, just as I, you know, jokingly, but Don is where not jokingly, say I'm playing catch up here. The fact that didn't come from NBA Central, where, do you know what I mean? Like, the fact that Shams and Haynes took their time to send that out, It's not nothing, is what I would say. And again, it doesn't mean that LeBron is desperate to leave to go to Dallas. But it could be, if people think LeBron did the retirement thing for leverage to get Kyrie in, right? Mm-hmm. Then, all right, well, here's a little bit more leverage. LeBron's saying, if LeBron says to the Lakers, hey, just so you know, I'm playing with Kyrie next year. Ball's in your court as to whether that's in purple and gold or in maverick blue. Like, so this is, again, I agree. No doubt about it. If you set the line, the favorite in the market is LeBron on the Lakers next season. But I would say if you were to kind of set the market for Kyrie on a yes-no prop, is he playing alongside LeBron? Boy, the yes is starting to flirt with favorite status.
Yes, and also this is from a player in LeBron James that he is running at the end. He would like to play on a team with as many good players as possible to see if he can get one more, maybe two more championships to latch onto. That's why all of this, and also it's very calculated. LeBron James, how do you feel at the end of the season, man? Look, every year I want to come back and play. I can't wait. I told you I wanted to play with my son. Turns into, you know what, I'm getting up there in age. I might want to retire. Okay, Lakers go, well, if he retires, what are we going to do now? We don't get anything for him, and LeBron James rides off in the sunset. Or do we make a move, call his bluff, not do this? The one thing that you do know in the NBA is it's very rare where a superstar player goes, I would like to be moved, and they go, sit your butt down on this bench and you'll like it even if you don't play. It doesn't happen all that much unless you're Ben Simmons and you actually can't play anymore and the Sixers go, we know you can't play. Sit over here. We'll get ready when we feel the need in order to do that. It's Monday. There's a lot of topics. That's what Moneyline's for right here on the grid. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yo, we are back. New week, new money, as they say. Had good money last week. Didn't make any money yesterday on a Sunday, but that's what Mondays are for. You get after it, you have some fun. There's some good Major League Baseball action. We'll get there. What did I watch?
This might be a ridiculous question.
Yeah.
Did you bet anything in game two of the final?
Yes. Yeah. So you don't pay any attention to me as I came on the air and said, man, I was one short of a rebound for Jokic and Bam Adebayo last night on cashing a nice ticket. And you replied and answered back to me. Yes. Yep. See that?
No.
You don't even listen to me.
You were talking to the producer this morning, and I went, oh, I missed half that conversation. I wonder what that was about. What did you have?
Yeah,
parlay?
Exactly. I did a parlay yesterday. I shot it out. And that was like 10 minutes before the game because it was one of those where I was just like, it's a night game, so I'm just hanging out during the day. And I was like, oh, hold on. What time? Oh, did I miss it? No, I didn't. It's like 7:50. Yeah. It's like, oh, let me fire something in just to keep an eye and have some fun with. And I've really had my like assist props combining players and rebound props combining players. Not necessarily points, but I went with Jokic to get 12 rebounds or more. And I went with Bam Adebayo, 10 rebounds or more. Both came up like one short apiece on that side. It didn't have a great start, but I figured it might have a legitimate chance. Like 5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, like, ooh, if I can get two rebounds out of, you know, Jokic and one out of Bam, it didn't happen. It wasn't a huge pay. It was like two plus two something. But I thought it was in that zone. Like, yeah, just basically Bam, give me 10, and you know Jokic would take care of it. Neither one of them did, which sort of makes me feel a little bit better than if, like, oh, one had 19 and the other had 9. I should have just, you know, had 24 plus rebounds between the two and took it, but didn't. So it wasn't bad, but I did have something last night. I was relying on it.
I ended up with what worked out to be a phenomenal game. And, I mean, it's almost all Max Strus is doing because I saw the bounce back coming. The first thing I did was I had the Heat's team total over 102.5. But then I bet Max Strus over 9.5 points. And then we're doing the show with JY, and JY's best bet was KCP over 1.5 made threes. So then there's a bet, you know, those combo bets on DraftKings Dining that we were looking at the other day?
Yes.
And it was KCP and Strus to combine for over 3.5 threes. And I'm like, well, if JY likes this guy and I like my guy, so and I bet them all, you know, best bet amount, and they all won. And you know what? Usually, because obviously that kind of ruins the plan. Like, you're supposed to only have one best bet, but they just all kind of met the criteria. NBA Finals, it is what it is, and they all came in. So it made for a fantastic Sunday night.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's when it plays out. Also, it's always nice when you get that hot start. And I was even joking the other day. Like, I had a, with, I think it was Wednesday, I want to say, where we were live and the Texas Rangers were in a day game. I think it's the Tigers. And I was even joking, saying, like, now hold on now. Like don't get these RBIs too quick here because then I have nothing to cheer for eight innings, which is so stupid the way it sounds. But it's kind of funny. Like, you're saying, okay, let me get Max Strus with a couple threes. He's like, boo, boo, boo. Oh, okay. Rest of the game. What am I dipping back in? Like, what am I doing here? There's no sweat whatsoever, which almost takes the fun out of gambling in a way because of how quickly it hits here. It almost like you like that sort of, like, ooh, let's lock this up by the half. But, man, that guy was on it, right? Like, the first commercial break, you're going like, oh, my God. Like, Strus is already done at this point. The guy's just going off. But it is kind of odd where he knocks four straight down, then doesn't get one the rest of the game. It was almost like, oh, no. Should I have went with that seven threes, eight threes out of Strus? Oh, man, it's going to be my night.
If you climb the ladder in that game,
yes,
from the three-point perspective, mm-hmm, that ended up being a really miserable scene. Like, again, like, that's what we talk about best bet, like, or, sorry, bad beats. Like, they come in all shapes and sizes. And anybody that bet Strus to make five threes last night suffered one of the worst beats that will happen all NBA finals, Donnie. Like, yeah, that guy made four in one quarter, looked like he might flirt with, like, the finals record for made triples and just couldn't hit again.
Also, like, the prop bets, I'm looking at one right now, like, any player to record, like, six triples made, plus 370. Like, you're like, hey, man, if you would have took something like that, you're like, oh, I mean, good. And it's like, now, wait a second here. Like, he could just, because also, when you get hot like that, that means you open the door for, like, another seven or eight threes, even if you don't make it. It's still a very good night. And he basically did that. Opened up with four, and then just, like, brick, 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 and it didn't make a difference at that point there, because you already cashed in your prop bet. But if you were just climbing that ladder, it's like, you can't get a better start than this. I had that feeling of, what was it, the Colts and the Jets on Monday Night Football? You go right down the field, people are punching it in, we're ready to run it up the flagpole with like 500s and threes and all this nonsense, and you get an injury. It's like, yeah, that's the way it always happens. It looked like who was the Jets backup? Was it Mike White? Mike White came in, right? And was just slinging it all over the place when we were on the air live. I was like, he might throw for 500 yards and five touchdowns tonight. And then you saw him, like, flexing on the side, like, oh, man, might have hurt his elbow. I said, yeah, of course he did at this point.
And then Jerony Jones comes in and has the same night Mike White would have had, and we would have won every bet under the sun. Who was that came in?
Not Josh Johnson. Who was the backup there?
Was it?
I don't know. I can't remember who the Jets backup was.
It might have been.
Jets backup, what year was that, 2021? Yeah.
Let's see. Josh Johnson might be right. It was against the Colts, right, on a Thursday night or so.
2021. Jets 2021 starters and backups. Let's see what we got here. James Morgan, Mike White. No, was it 2021? Or was it 2022? All right. I'm not even sure yet.
I'm going to go to the box score here and find.
Was somebody hurt at that point? Like, how did that guy even get in? Because Mike White, obviously, guys were hurt. Who was the starter?
Was it still Zach Wilson that got injured? Hurt?
Zach Wilson got hurt. Mike White steps in, and whoever's backing him up. Because it says Flacco, but Flacco would have been in the game before that. It's probably coming later in the year.
DRS.
It was. There we go. All right. Yeah, just like he does in Mississippi.
17 pass. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
317 yards and three touchdowns from Josh Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, man. We should have been changing lives that game. We really should have been.
By the way, I was watching a lot in the first half last night, and I'm saying to myself, was it me, or was YouTube running Arnold Schwarzenegger commercials for minutes at a time during every break? Was it just me, or no?
You know what? I miss a lot of commercials. Like, it's very easy for me to get to the phone then. Let's scroll Twitter. What's the conversation like? So I've definitely seen it, you know, some Arnold up there, but I can't comment on it too much or too little.
Yeah, YouTube really uses the final sponsor by YouTube in their favor by just hammering whatever random shows they got coming out, including Arnold Schwarzenegger's new show. So it's one of those where I notice it once or twice, then I notice it like a third time. Like, stop the madness, editor. Now I won't watch it just because you're peppering me with that. But also, they were hitting people with, did you make sure you signed up for your NFL Sunday ticket repeatedly for a last chance opportunity at saving a hundy spot? Did that entice you there?
No, I'm not. Come on. I can't.
Does the group pay for that for you?
Got it.
Is that what they pay for? I think they do now. You know what I mean?
You're going to have now, I mean, come on. How about this? One team account and everyone's just logging out.
Yes, correct. Yep, big moment here. You get knocked out of it. Somebody's just, you know, leaving it on. It's like if you get into, you know, our systems here, you just leave it up there. They used to have an issue with that. Like, now log out. Like, don't stay on here. Like, you know, it's bringing down, like, the bandwidth or whatever. Remember those arguments?
I do. And so those arguments may be a little more modernized, though, was when one brother was trying to play Call of Duty in the house.
Oh, boy.
You're
yes.
on the laptop trying to Fantastic. Watch YouTube, and they're losing and dying in the video game because you're messing up their connection.
Wow.
They're lagging, and you need to get off of the computer, and you need to get off right now.
Wow. Yeah, they're old school issues at that point, man. I don't know if I ever had those issues because usually it was just me in the house at that point playing, but I never had, like, multiple systems running. Back before you could get, like, super-duper high-powered internet like we have now, what you could pay for now, that was always interesting. Also, like, the dial-up and stuff like that and pulling the cord when the screen hit the scoreboard on Madden back in, you know, 2002, 2003. Oh, they were fantastic times overall. Sometimes I want to get back to gaming, but I don't think I probably would have jobs for that much longer. I don't know how I would even stay up because gaming's like a night thing for me back in the day. Like, I would get done work at, like, 10 o'clock at night. Game to like 4:35 in the morning. Didn't have to be in the work till like 2 in the afternoon. Like, those were the days, man. Pizza.
Oh.
Cocktails. Games.
Some pizza.
Yeah.
Can we ask if GP order pizza to our houses? Like, is that a job of a producer?
Yeah. Just give JP, get Kev's address on air.
Never mind.
Pizzas to him. I love this idea. We'll be back. You know how we do it. It's on a Monday. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here. Big news last night as Kevin and I both woke up shocked the Heat won last night.
No,
I mean,
stop
shocked.
Doing this.
Yep.
Stop
shocked.
Doing this.
Couldn't
I
believe
can't stand
it.
You.
Couldn't believe it. I mean, most people, including Kevin and I, couldn't believe that the Heat went in there and won that game last night. I mean, man. Woo!
You know what's funny?
Gives us a series.
You know what's funny?
What do you got?
There's so many shows that the basis is kind of their hosts arguing with one another.
Yeah.
And at times, like, you think it's, like, contrived and things like that. But you and I are both pretty logical people. Surprisingly, I know people would hear me describe Donnie like that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, even if we disagree, we don't find ourselves arguing too much. But when it comes to the Miami Heat, at times I'd be like, man, you know, it'd be a little fun if Donnie actually didn't believe in this basketball team. And it turns out it wouldn't be fun because then he would somehow try and saddle me with that same exact outlook, which is a disaster. And I can't stand it.
Now, you know, tomorrow there's going to be a segment on, like, a little quick little preview for, you know, as usual, for game number 3 coming up. Joe Ranieri will join me, and I will start a segment tomorrow that goes, hey, Joe, by the way, are you as shocked as Kevin and I that the Miami Heat are tied up at 1? And he'll be like,
yeah,
well,
I mean,
man,
that's
yep,
so
there you go.
Annoying.
Yep, there you
that's
go.
That's so annoying. And I mean that with all the sincerity in my voice possible here. Unbelievable.
That's good. So we'll have some fun on that tomorrow and get after it. But by the way, the Heat do handle business, and I told you last week, because sometimes it's not as if you have, because I don't have any tickets on the Miami Heat or the Denver Nuggets to win. The ticket for me is, give me as many games as possible, because it's just fun to see it play out this way. The ebbs, the flows, the twists, the turns. I love the fact that the Heat are tied up, because there's so many things. Because think about this, Kevin. We're coming on the air live today. Denver smokes, you know, double-digit win against the Miami Heat again. You're trying to, like, the angle is, well, can Miami at least get one, and can they send it back to Denver? But you go 1-1 now. Now you're starting to talk about, like, this looks legitimately like it's going probably 7 games or 6 games with an epic turn coming up. And I love the fact that you can play off that on a game-to-game basis. Like, you talk about, you know, in the NBA, not on and off. What's the series betting? It's slipping my mind right now.
Series
every other game.
Spread?
No, like every other game. What was it called? Zigzag. The zigzag theory, right? Oh, you know, you just take the other team in the next game, and that's all you do with. But the fact that these two teams are lined up 1-1, there's legitimate talk, like, in the next game, too, because you know how big it is. You're tied 1-1. You go back home. You win that game and go up 2-1. You have the vice grip now on the Denver Nuggets by saying, you know what? We go 3-1? Yeah, we'll just go back to Denver and just have a party, and then we'll come back in game six and smoke you in our own building. Now, granted, that's not the way teams play it out because you can't just throw away a game. But my goodness, like the 2-1 series lead now flipping back to Denver was all about a lock to win an NBA championship after one game in the NBA Finals, slipping away at that point. And you see the price points here coming up into game three. Forget about the total, or excuse me, forget about the side in the game, right? 2.5 for the Miami Heat. It's still a it's almost like, Kevin, like, that's what the line should be if Denver was up 2-0 because all they did was secure home court. But it's like, hey, 1-1, no home court, heavy favorite.
Yeah, the lines are maybe in a position where if that was what the series was before any basketball was played, I would have been like, a little strong, but okay, I can respect it. It's the violent swings that you get from a game-to-game basis are always difficult, but you do not get a Miami respect under any circumstances here, you know? Again, like, should Denver really be favored in Miami? Miami has only lost one more game at home this postseason than Denver has now at this point. I mean, Miami is 6-2 at home in this postseason. The Nuggets are 4-3 on the road. They have been vulnerable on the road. They had a losing road record before they were able to sweep the Lakers. And I know they were able to sweep the Lakers, but this is not a team. Again, the dominance of Denver has been greatly exaggerated. It has been. And the numbers are once again wrong. The Celtics won a game in Miami, Donnie, and didn't cover. That's how you know you're set. That's a bad line. That's a bad line then. The Celtics shouldn't have been favored in that game, despite the fact that they had won. They laid 3 points, and the cover went Miami's direction. You know, and I know that that's a rarity for that amount to make a difference here. But the books are every single game. It's, all right, we got to set the line here to be a favorite on Miami. That's what we do. Every single game, not a favorite on Miami, but we need to set the lines to where everybody's betting the Heat, and everybody's going to keep betting the Heat, I guess.
By the way, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I just sent a retweet out right now. And this tweet was posted right around showtime today, Kevin, 1 o'clock. NBA Central account. Tyler Hero is still experiencing soreness and swelling in his shooting hand after shooting workouts. Which, again, that's fine. Like, that's understandable. You break your shooting hand, you can't use it for 6 weeks, and then you start firing 1,000 jumpers. Yeah, it's not going to be all there. But how about this quote, which I can't believe this is coming from Hero. He also shared consideration of not wanting to come back and mess up the rhythm of the team. Let Jimmy Butler hear that quote. Like, he might catch a two-piece to the, almost like you saw what Golden State transpired with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. That's what he might catch from Jimmy Butler. There's no way that Tyler Hero actually physically said out loud, you know what, maybe I shouldn't just come back because I'll mess with it. Then you should be going. Right now, Pat Riley should be on the phone sending him somewhere else then, right?
I hear the idea in this way, Donnie, right? This is not the Miami Heat are not the team that beat Milwaukee in round one through a Jimmy Butler, let's call it really for what it is, a carry job. 37 a game on outrageous efficiency.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler has scored 30 points. I mean, I think it's like once since game one of the Knicks series. So why do I bring that up? I bring that up to say the guys that Tyler Hero is going to be impacting the most, minutes-wise, are these role players that have been playing well. To me, it comes off a little bit like Hero is, it's not as though I'm worried about disrupting the rhythm. I'm worried that I'm gonna not be as effective as I need to be. And therefore, I'm going to be taking minutes of guys that have been effective. Now, that should be easily cured by Jimmy Butler, not punching him in the face. That's an overreaction.
I think it'll work.
I think Jimmy Butler just has to say, Tyler, you're one of the three best players on this team. What are you talking about? Suit up, dude. We've got an NBA championship to win. But
I think what it, I think the big takeaway there for me is Hero really does not sound like he trusts the hand. A guy that feels 100% is chomping at the bit to get out there. That does not sound like 100% Tyler Hero will ever play a game again this postseason.
I don't for the mentality typically of an athlete is just fighting to get back. Because why? You know, as they talk about a meritocracy, right, where it's like, hey, you know what? If you're a better player, eventually you're going to play. But also the status of the player within the team and the league and the fan base and for himself. Let's be real with this, Kevin. If Tyler Hero legitimately could come back, right, we think he can. Let's just say he's banged up still a little bit. I need to come back and play and help my team whatever way I can. If it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 25 minutes, if I'm hot, fantastic. If I'm not, you know, I'll play. I'll get in that uniform and I'll give you some really good defensive possessions. Because when it's all said and done and the Miami Heat end up winning the championship and Tyler Hero legitimately in his mind goes, you know, I just didn't want to come back and mess up the chemistry. He can't wear that ring. That's going to be a Carson Wentz ring for Tyler Hero. Like, hey, you're an NFL champion. I have the ring, but no, I'm not. That wasn't my team. I didn't play. And it was no fault of Carson Wentz's own. But that's the only guy on that football team when the Eagles won the championship that can't actually wear that ring without maybe even getting clowned at this point. And it's not fair. It's just the way it is. But Tyler Hero is going to go to a NBA championship party at Live on South Beach with his ring on going, you know what? I was healthy, man. But I just didn't want to come back and mess up the rhythm of this team. You shouldn't even be on the team then.
So what's, and I'm so tempted to get into the Wentz angle of that because I defend Wentz's worthiness of the ring maybe more than most. But
no,
I guess he could still be made fun of.
With the, it's not, I didn't really mean made fun of, but he was a huge part of the Philadelphia Eagles getting to that Super Bowl. But when he wears that ring and shows it to somebody, come on, brother, that's Nick Foles' ring you got on right there.
Which okay,
is,
it's just the way it is.
I think that's just the way it is.
I think that's solid, yeah. Because I guess my, and it sounds like the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl without home court advantage or home field advantage.
They don't. No, they don't. You're right. And I completely agree with you. But from a standpoint, he didn't quit. He actually tore his ACL winning a game in Los Angeles. But he knows. And when he was up there at the parades, if you asked him deep down, how does this feel today? He's like, you know what? Everybody's cheering, 100%. And I feel like I had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it hurts, and that's the way it is.
Again, people call Ben soft. He threw a touchdown on a torn ACL, but that's neither here nor there. I imagine Hero will want to be out there. But again, for me, right now, the biggest takeaway from those Tyler quotes is that does not sound like a guy that's 100%. And I mean, but also too, Donnie, it almost doesn't sound like a guy that's going to, like, does Miami feel good that he's ready to go? Do you think? Is Miami? You know, I don't even know who a great example of this is. Where it's like, oh, come on, dude. Like, aren't you Kawhi? I guess would be the example. Like, aren't you not healthy yet? Like, do we think that the Heat's read on this right now is time back out there?
I mean, we got word that he's probably shooting for game three, but also the reading of this is ridiculous because you're right. There's two different tales being told here. Hey, man, my wrist isn't right. I can barely shoot threes. Like, I could go out there and go 0-10, but my goodness, like, I need to ice my wrist at every single break because of how bad it hurts, but I'm trying to come back. There's two different ways, and I just can't come back, and that's the way it is. The second part of the tweet reads, basically, is like, hey, man, even if I'm healthy, this team's playing good. I don't want to mess that up. It's just such a, from a competitive standpoint, it's so wild because most players would be kicking and screaming and lying about their wrist just to get back in an NBA Finals game, knowing you might never get into an NBA Finals game ever again in your career. It's just a wild statement here. Long way to go here on Moneyline. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I want to get this topic out here because it's one of my favorites in the NFL. Whenever a very good football player comes available, the tightrope you have to walk as both a GM, head coach, and maybe even a quarterback on a team, not to upset everybody. So Lindsay Theory sends out a tweet here at 1:28 p.m., which caught my eye. Says Chargers coach Brandon Staley declines to comment on whether they are pursuing free agent wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who expressed interest in playing with Justin Herbert, but said he has great respect for Hopkins And you fill in the blank here, Kevin. What do you say after that?
We like our group. Did he enter? We like our group.
Yep. Exactly. That's always like the caveat saying, well, I'm going to tell you he's really good and I really want him, but and I'm not going to tell Keenan Allen and Mike Williams that I got to go get this guy and it's going to be a failure if we don't because we cannot win. I do enjoy that where it's sort of, we're excited about a group. No, you're not. You'd be way more excited about your group if DeAndre Hopkins in there. Why can't you just say that? Hey, you know, we got good wide receivers here, but we had Hopkins. Watch out at this point. They can't actually say that. And also, we talked about Zeke Elliott this morning. You brought him up. Like, when is that timeline going to be? Where is Zeke Elliott actually going to wind up? And my thought process was, well, he's not ever going to get a monster deal, so why sign with an organization early when you might be able to handpick your spot later in the preseason slash training camp, and if somebody gets injured, maybe get a little bit more of a payday. DeAndre Hopkins, I saw, had that timeline going, oh, you know, it's not a rush now. OTAs would be nice. Start of training camp will be better. He's got to be in sooner than later, but all this means to me, Kevin, is he's not getting what he thought he would probably get the minute he was cut. Like, oh, what was your contract in Arizona? Let's do something similar to that, and let's get underway. That's why he hasn't signed yet.
No, the whole thing has not worked out his direction. Now, again, I think his situation is greatly impacted by the timing, which is unfortunate for him. Like, I actually feel a bit bad for him that had he hit the market months ago, he would have been kind of one of the first guys probably off the board here. And it puts Hopkins in a very interesting situation as to, again, what is his priority? And it's tough when you make a guy's, you know, when you say, hey, do you have to choose between competing for a Super Bowl and making exactly what you're worth, right? Like, that's not supposed to be the kind of the line of demarcation there as to what you can and can't do. But that really does seem like what the situation staring Hopkins in the face is. Do I want top dollar? Do I want to, you know, give myself the best chance for a Super Bowl? I wonder if he's hoping to find a medium somewhere.
Yeah, find in Buffalo. Let's go. Even though Buffalo doesn't need him, Eagles don't need him. I just need one of those spots where it's like, well, overindulgence at the wide receiver position. I love that. I think it's fun to watch it play out.
But you say Buffalo doesn't need him. When Buffalo was eliminated by Cincinnati, they then turned the entire like topics into, well, this team doesn't have any weaponry outside of Stephon Diggs. What did you expect?
Like that's Davis
the conversation
good,
turned. No,
they
had a
first round draft pick on tight end. I'm just saying it's hard to go out and get a big time wide receiver like DeAndre Hopkins when you already have a big time wide receiver. That is going to be like, oh, so I guess you don't like me. Well, I want more money now you got DeAndre Hopkins here, or I went out of town, or the first game it doesn't go your way, and everybody loves DeAndre Hopkins in the crowd, and he sees those jerseys, talking about Stephon Diggs. That's just the way it is. Like, that's why I talked about,
is
like, Kansas
really
City.
How
like,
it is,
wide
Donnie?
Out. Yes, 1,000. Wide receivers,
I mean, I feel like
A,
I
want to
really
get paid,
what you just
and
said.
B, want to be top dogs.
But he's already paid.
No, but I'm saying
but
that's not the point. Though.
The idea that he's going to get angry at Hopkins jerseys is crazy.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, give him 2 weeks off where DeAndre Hopkins is getting more targets, and he will put something out with Josina Anderson on a Monday saying, don't care that we're 2-0, I'm not getting my targets. This needs to be rectified. Because that's what happens with big-time, fiery wide receivers. They never want to show, because they figure, I should get 18 targets a game. Now, hold on.
Yeah.
In the red zone, you didn't look for me, Josh? Like, I'm supposed to be the front end play of this. You went backside to Hopkins for a touchdown? Yeah, it's great we scored, but I'm telling you, watch the plays if you can do this possibly, right? Let's just say a touchdown pass in the NFL. Who celebrates first and who's generally happy? It tells a tale right away. Like, if you have a wide receiver that's open in Devontae Adams in Philadelphia or A.J. Brown, just watch the quick splits there when Devontae gets that ball, what A.J. Brown's reaction is right away. The offensive linemen, Kevin, they're like doing somersaults. They love it. The quarterback's getting picked up and lifted up. The crowd's going wild. And the other wide receiver is jogging off the field away from everybody else. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is.
I just think that is all cured by winning. And the idea is Hopkins and Buffalo will give that team a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl.
I would love it.
That's often my belief. So we'll see if that's how it's going to spin. But, it doesn't seem like we're close to this being resolved.
No, and I wish it would. And by the way, one of my favorite, back in college, one of my single favorite moments that I loved was Jerry Rice was playing his final game for the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. And Terrell Owens went off and had like 22 catches in that game. And I loved every minute. It was supposed to be like the final, you know what I mean? Like the final send-off. Mm-hmm. Feed Jerry Rice. And T.O. just went ballistic in that game and absolutely was wrecking shop. And I just laugh at that going like, man, this was supposed to be like my day. And the post-game press conference, like, hey, the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game is probably going to hang him up. So what? T.O. went ballistic and set an NFL record. Let's talk about that more. That's what wide receivers do. Like, you know, T.O., like, hey, man, look, I like Jerry and all, but he ain't getting this shine even on your last day here, pal. I'm just going to go bonkers out here. And he did. That's what wide receivers do, is stab each other in the back, man.
It does feel like that the T.O. Ocho Cinco 1-2 punch of wide receiver was truly a special 1-2 punch in terms of what they wanted and things like that. But they were also both phenomenal talents. So there's that.
Cincinnati used to run that through all of the time here. But also, Kevin, ask and you shall receive. Let me just bring up this. I think it scrolled off my screen quickly here. We're going to go back and find it. This had to do with Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner. Oh, here we go. It's on my football section. Let me get this. There's two tweets came out. I think one explains it better. All right, there we go. Okay. Jerry Jones said the Cowboys worked out 5 to 6 free agent players today. Jones said he won't close the door on a potential Ezekiel Elliott return. Jones on DeAndre Hopkins, quote, "We don't dismiss any possibility, but it's unlikely." That's interesting from Jerry.
Like Jerry, not, that, yeah, like,
Jerry loved Odell, so, but doesn't like DeAndre.
Yeah, but hold on. But how come now we haven't done this whole Lamar Jackson style conversation where everything is Hopkins' fault because he wants too much money and every team is aware of every dollar he wants?
When
do you start that?
I could get on that side. Start it right now. I think I could start it right now because I didn't think about it until you said it. I think I might swing the tide. Like, well, Hopkins wants too much money, man. It's going to break a team down.
But again, like, what is Hopkins? See, like, and we don't know because he's not entering kind of a normal market. But I wonder how the league views Hopkins in terms of dollars and cents. Like, do they still think he's one of the 10 best receivers in football or not? Like, I think that's a really interesting question.
No, it is. And by the way, also, is the word getting out where when you have a dominant wide receiver, right, when a head coach comes into a new team, usually he says, "Okay, hey, man, I need all the good players I can get. Like, we're not going to be very good, and the last thing I want to do is lose DeAndre Hopkins. Can we restructure his contract? Can we just give him a little bit more money up front so he starts to buy in as well? Because I'm really going to need that." The fact that they couldn't get him, like, on board there, is there maybe, and again, I'm not bringing this up as the point where we hear that he's a malcontent, but it's just interesting to me where he gets let loose a wide, I don't care, it's post, teams have all this money. I'm pretty surprised that, like, that, I didn't expect him to get cut on a Friday, Kevin, to be signed on a Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. I didn't expect that. But I thought we would have more like, hey, he's down to two teams. He's flying here today. He's flying there tomorrow, and we'll hear. Because it isn't 32 NFL teams in on him, right? We know that. But there are teams that say, hey, you know what? If we can find space for this guy, he might change the trajectory of we got 8 wins to 10 wins. And not to say that he actually means 10 wins, but just the thought process of bringing DeAndre Hopkins and elevating everybody else, going, hey, you know what? We really think we can win now and get to the point. That's what I'm actually surprised at. He's still out there because I know he's probably asking for a lot and granted. But his agent sooner or later is going to settle in like, hey, you know what? That money's not there. Let's see when we can get after it. And I expect it to be, it's got to be before what? July 10th or so? You know what I mean? Like a week and a half out of training camp?
The toughest part for Hopkins is probably only kind of saying, okay, dollars with the bad teams. But is everything a 1-year deal for Nuke? Because that's also a slippery slope, isn't it?
I only take a 1-year for, like, the good part about Nuke is he has a lot of money in his back pocket. And again, no, there's no amount of money that is, you know, enough to turn down and say, hey, look, I'm not going to go to Buffalo for $8 million because I always wanted to play for the Cowboys for $2 million. He's not going to do that, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But there is a point where his agent can settle and say, hey, man, look, the money's not there because the money is dried up. Not because you're not good. Everybody spent what they were going to spend. Like, people are just trying to find money at this point to bring you in. Do a 1-year deal. Play well. You're still young enough where you are going to get that next contract, which, again, it might not be 5 years, $200 million, but you'll get in one more nice payday and ride off into the sunset. That's what I'm looking at here. Take the best fit, 1-year deal, incentives, be healthy, play well, win, and then you'll be able to do whatever you want the next year.
Yeah, I just he is an older player though. Like if somebody was flirting with the idea of giving him a 3-year deal, I think he'd certainly sit down at the table and really think about it there. You know, and that could be a trump card in the room if that's what he's asking for, if that's what he's commanding. But we don't know. Like that's there's so much unknown right now on the Hopkins end of it, which is a really big shift because we were kind of led to believe we did know exactly what he wanted, right, Donnie? Weren't we led to believe that what this guy obviously was after was, you know, going to one of the, you know, five best quarterbacks in football, right? Mahomes, Hurts, Allen. The one thing is the Bengals are never on that list because I guess their wide receiver room is too good. But, you know, he was trying to get to Baltimore, trying to get to the Chargers. Like, and you just – now we hear New England, we hear Houston, we hear Cleveland, like – I do think it's kind of a highest bidder type of thing there for Hopkins.
That's what it feels like. You know, you're trying to get the best place and the most money. And again, there's no real rush on him to get to a team right now. Maybe, again, somebody gets injured coming up into training camp. It sort of greases the, you know, wallet a little bit more and you get a little bit more money. But by the way, talking about Jerry Jones and Zeke Elliott, where he says, you know, well, we haven't closed the door. So let me get this straight. Your employer says, you know what, you make a lot of money, don't think you're worth it at this point, goodbye. A month later go, you know, we're open to bringing you back at a 20-time decrease in your salary and take a backup role. It's almost if, and I'm not saying Zeke wouldn't do that, but he's just better off going like Cincinnati, Seattle, Philadelphia, like wherever. If the money is going to be comparable, how do you even do that if you're Zeke?
I would, if it's same role, same money, new situation, instead of being brought back by the same football team, but they're like, hey, listen, like your workload goes from 64 to you to 85-15. Like, no. I know people say, oh, don't let your pride get in the way, but it's also, he doesn't need to be, he's not a Dallas guy anyway, really. I mean, a Texas guy, right?
Yeah.
Is he from Ohio? Is that why he?
I thought he's from
Ohio
Kansas.
State?
Was he from Kansas or something like that? I really want to say he's from out like. I swear, because it was one of those where I remember hearing where he came from. You figured he'd be from like, you know, Youngstown, Ohio, or something like that, going to Ohio State. I thought he's like an out-of-state guy, like Midwest somewhere, and just got there. Like he wasn't even at like a prominent high school at that point. He was just a ridiculous, ridiculous athlete. But it is funny where it's like, hey, by the way, love to have you back. Pay you nothing. Take a back seat. Maybe you still sell some jerseys for us. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit the top of the hour, in hour number two. Your phone call certainly on deck, 844-843-6879. Brandon Lau placed on the IL here with the Texas Rangers. So a little bit of a chink in the armor for them, whereas one of the more power bats in that lineup looks like he's going to be down for a little bit. Back inflammation. Hopefully it's not too bad. Maybe just a spasm. Can't be in the lineup. We'll see what happens there. But now's the time that we always like to take a look and see where our guy, JP, is actually going today. No NBA scheduled for today. There is a game on Wednesday, so we got a little bit of time off there. So, JP, Major League Baseball today. Is that where we're going?
I bet it's.
Yeah, I'm going to the baseball. No?
Oh!
No. Oh, you throw hockey? Where do you think he was going today?
I thought he was going to bet basketball, honestly.
What, wait, 2 days?
He's done that before. Yeah, he's done that before.
Tough scene. Tough scene
odds
out
still
here.
Up and available.
I'm surprised JP's not going hockey tonight. But then again, it's not the Rangers, so it's out on that. So where are we going tonight? Prop bet, JP? Side, total, what is it?
I'm going to an RBI prop, and I could get more specific
if needed.
Yeah.
Well, let me guess it, because I think I know which guy you're going for here. Let's see.
Yeah, Adolis Garcia.
Uh-huh. Just making stuff up. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it coming from the Wainwright Perez game? By the way, clarify by the game you're going to, JP. How about that? No? Why?
I can't.
There's so many bad pitchers in some of these.
Yeah, but I don't like. Again, I don't think JP will be slandered by. I don't think that's what he's looking at here. Usually, I don't think he's looking at XFIPs. Like there's got to be a narrative spot out there that you were.
Philly's going up against just a trash pitcher. Maybe the way he's going there. Oakland and Pittsburgh. I don't think JP even knows any players on either of those teams by name, so we'll skip that one.
Correct. That's
Astros,
my point.
Blue Jays, maybe a big one there. Rangers, little Simeon Seager access. There's a lot we can go. There's a lot we can do, but hour number two is coming up. We'll find out where JP is going. Also take a look at the Major League Baseball card and much, much more. Hour number two on its way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.